5, but it was also the fervency of the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses. Jesus said, go do it. I'm going to give you power. And all of a sudden, this church that looked like it was defeated, this group of apostles, these group of disciples, these groups of followers of Jesus Christ, it looked like it was the end for them. Their Savior had been crucified, had been murdered. Then all of a sudden, the resurrection come, he visits them, and then he speaks to them before he ascends into heaven, and he says, I'm going to give you power. And man, their whole life, church, the church of Jesus Christ was birthed on the day of Pentecost. And so if somebody is really filled with the Spirit of God, they're going to be a witness, not just lethargic going out and doing the works. The Jehovah's Witness do that. Other sects and other cults do that. And some nominal churches, they have their little feeding program or whatever, but there's no life in it. You know there's no life in it. And I'll tell you how, if the money ran out, they'd stop doing it. Did you hear me? I hope this microphone's working. Most churches, you know, that if they don't have the money, they cut programs. They just stop it. But and usually you find one person full of the Holy Spirit that says, man, I'll personally pay for it, or let's keep doing it, or, you know, we're not going to stop. We're going to find a way to make it happen. So here's my point. If there's no evidence of the power of God, then there's not going to be a real fervent evidence of witnessing. Surely there's not going to be. And now let's make it even broader to prove that point. He said, you're going to be witnesses unto me both where? Jerusalem. That's right here. Wherever you live. That's the city limits. And in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now see that progression? At home, a little further than that, a little further. And then what happens? The whole world. The whole world begins to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. How does that happen? That happens by a people, by a church that is full of the Holy Spirit that says, I will get on an airplane and travel the world. I'll send seed and send it to the nations. I'll bless ministries. I'll help missionaries. I'll do what I need to do to help pastors and missionaries around the world get the job done. If you can't go, this is what I always say. If your mouth can't go, your money can. If your mouth can't go, your money can. In other words, if you can't get on a plane for whatever reasons, you sure can send your money and help somebody get on an airplane and do that. And again, we don't have to fly over the mission field to get to the mission field. We can do that right here. And that's the principle of what Jesus is saying. You do it here in Jerusalem. That's right here. You know, a little further out, Judea, Samaria, and then the entire world. Hey, if you got the power of the Holy Spirit operating in your life, then you'll do that right there. It'd be hard for you to rest and hard for you to sleep and hard for you to enjoy things around you unless you are going, moving, blessing, and doing great things and helping people in the nations of the world. That is a Spirit-filled life. It's not sitting around with angels ascending and descending upon you. Hey, maybe that'll happen to you. Maybe the skies will open up and you have great visions and dreams. And I'm not belittling that, because that is a key that opens the portal to many things, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. My point is, we're not just going to sit around singing Kumbaya, my Lord. We're not going to sit around writing down as ancient scribes, you know, all these words from God and do nothing. No, no. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, buddy, that is the turbo power. That's the nitro. Come on. That's the supernatural horsepower that comes into a believer and believers and a church. And that church, man, and that person just says, you know what? I don't care what time of day it is. I don't care what's going on. I have one purpose and one plan, and that is to fulfill everything that Jesus both began to teach and to do. That's what I'm supposed to do, is fulfill it. How do I do it? I get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Man, I get the power of God. I get that download of His grace and His power, and I get to work, man, and I see things happen, and that's the way we're supposed to live. All right, I got out of that gear. I'd like to stay there longer. But look at this, chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Notice that it was a miracle. What do you mean a miracle? They were in unity in one place. It's hard to get us all together in unity, isn't it? But they did it. Why? Because they had expectancy, expectation. They had hunger. They had desire. They knew something was going to happen because Jesus said, get up there, get to that place, and wait on me, and I'm going to outpour my spirit upon you. This is so simple to me. I don't know why. I've said this again. I don't understand why people get so caught up on receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I know what it is. It's people standing in the pulpit who are ignorant, not knowing the power of the Holy Spirit, not knowing Scripture, and then it's just the devil. It's just the devil trying to deceive the body of Christ and keep us from a mighty movement of God. Well, anyways, the day of Pentecost was come. They were all in one accord in one place. And let me just share this with my Catholic friends. Mary was there. Mary received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, I've shared that before, and it opened up a lot of eyes. But she was there in the upper room. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Did you see that? A sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all. I want you to highlight that or underline that, all the house where they were sitting. Here is the understanding. When the Holy Spirit comes, he fills all of you. When the Holy Spirit comes and you receive the baptism, remember, when you're saved, the Holy Spirit's in your life. Of course he is. That's how you're born again. That's how you know you've passed from death to life, how you've passed from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of life. You know how your heart has been circumcised. You're fresh and you feel great and you know you're born again. That's that well springing up into everlasting life. But I'm going to tell you something. There's times when that well can seem dry. We all have had dry seasons in our life with God. The problem is when we don't go further in God, a lot of us, when we get to that point of being dry in our well, we don't dig deeper. We don't push any deeper. And we fall back. We get lukewarm. We sin. We backslide. Some fall completely away from God. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you been there. I know I have been there. In when I first had given my life to the Lord before receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when I was much, much younger, you know, it just got dry. And if you don't have that infilling and that freshening up, if you will, you know what? You're not going to be able to continue to move much further. It's like being in a desert without any water. You can only go so long without water. And so they were, this is the analogy and the understanding I want you to see. I want you to see the parallel. It filled all the house where they were sitting. The Holy Spirit came and filled the whole house. He wants to come and fill the whole house called the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's why it's called the temple of the Holy Ghost, the temple of the Holy Spirit, your body. He wants to fill you completely. He wants to fill you not only to let you enjoy your salvation and go from a well now to a river, but he wants to flow out of you. He wants to flow out of you. He wants you to have joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. He wants you to have life. He wants you to be, you know, just splashing, if you will. When you walk up to people, just splashing with love and splashing with life and splashing with grace and splashing with anointing and a prophetic word. And some of you are listening to me say, man, this is so foreign to me. No, this is natural. This is supernatural. This is biblical life. This is what Christianity should be. But we've had such a distorted, messed up view by our leadership. Come on, we have just totally misrepresented God to our people in the church, and that becomes a reflection and a direction put upon the people in the world. And they look at the church and say, that's church? That's life? Why would I want that? I can get more entertainment, fellowship, love, and camaraderie out of a bar room. Did you hear me? Out of a bar room than I do in most churches. This shouldn't be foreign. This is the spirit life. This is the life abundant. Not money, not all that prosperity stuff. Nothing wrong with it. Be blessed. You should be blessed. I can teach and preach on prosperity all day long. Should the Lord lead me to do that? I'm going to do that. But it's not the case of a satisfied life. That's not the purpose of a satisfied life, and that's not evidence of a satisfied life of money and things. It's this right here. He filled the whole house. Guess what? He fills your whole temple. He fills it to where you start seeing things differently. You start having the mind of Christ. Wouldn't you like to have the mind of Christ? The Bible says you have it, but the Holy Spirit plugs it in. Did you hear me? The Holy Spirit makes that connection. Oh yeah, you can see things in the Bible and you can have revelation, but the Holy Spirit makes that connection to where you have the mind of Christ. You begin to see things like God sees. You hear things like God hears. You act like God does. You begin to be transformed. Are you perfect? Of course not. You'll be in this flesh suit, this flesh body. You're going to be in this marred vessel until Jesus comes and or you pass from life into eternity. You know, listen, the thing of it is, why do we have to wait to experience heaven in heaven when we can experience heaven now on earth? You see, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, you could do that. And there appeared appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Now, listen, fire. Think about fire for a minute. Fire is self-consuming. It consumes everything. It's self-announcing. It doesn't have to knock on the door. Fire just shows up. You know, if there's a source of heat and there's a source of material, and there's oxygen, fire takes place. And it, guess what? It doesn't let you know it's there. It just does it. You see, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's that fire. Again, what does fire do? A lot of people, they look at forest fires and they say, man, that's so terrible. Look what happened. And yeah, it's bad. You hate to see that take place. But really, there's a renewal process with the forest fire. There's a renewal process that actually helps the forest get bigger and better in the future. Now, what the Holy Spirit will do for you and I is it'll burn away things in our life. It'll help us with our addictions. I'm telling you, I understand that there are psychological diseases and issues with the mind of man. I understand mental health issues. I understand that. And one of the problems we have in the church is we'll go to two sides. We'll say everybody has a devil because of this or that. Or on the other side, everybody has a mental condition and it's just an issue. Honey, a physician has to take the patient and he has to discern, he has to diagnose, he has to look through it all to find out the exact problem. And what the church needs to do through the power of the Holy Spirit is discern. Is this a physical mental issue that came about by birth, came about by choice or whatever? Or is this something demonic? Something that comes from demon power, something that comes from generational curses, something that comes from an open door in their spirit. And so this is not the teaching for that. But what the Holy Spirit does, he's that fire that can burn away, whether it is a mental health, physical issue by choice, by birth, what have you, or it is a demonic stronghold. He comes in and he will burn the dross. He will burn that thing away. He will burn the tares, if you will, and he'll cause healing. He'll cause peace in the mind. He'll cause a blessing to those who have been stricken, for those who have been weighted down and burdened by either way, demon possession or a physical mental ailment. So they were filled, man. The fire came. That's what we need. We need the fire because our preachers aren't doing it. Our preachers aren't making it happen. We're not changing America. We're not changing the world. We're filing into church. We're sitting down. We're hearing some happy songs. We're hearing a happy message. We go right back out into the world and there's no fire. There's no change. Honey, I want to go to a firehouse church, and that's where I go, and that's why it's called Ignited Church, because we love the fire of God. We love the presence of God. We don't want to be stale. We don't want to be dull. We don't want to be afflicted. We don't want to carry a burden of the world. We want the Holy Ghost to come in and just begin to burn off these things. And you know what? It's the power of love. It really is. It's the power of love because God loves you and he loves me and he wants us to be filled with his Holy Spirit. In verse 4, and they all were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want you to read the rest of this because, man, they spilled out into the streets of Jerusalem. They're saying, man, these guys are drunk. these guys are just, you know, what's going on, man? It's early in the morning and they're drunk. They weren't drunk. But I'll tell you what, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't need no wine. You don't need no whiskey. You don't need no beer. You don't need no cigarettes. You don't need no tobacco. You don't need no uppers. You don't need no downers. You don't need no sideways. I don't even know if they make a drug like that, but you get my point. Honey, you don't need those things. You just get up in God. You just be blessed in God. You let the Spirit-filled life take over. And I'm going to tell you, He'll change everything. Again, I've told you this before, a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. And honey, I've got an experience and I know that the Holy Ghost is real. He's alive. He's available. And it's a promise for you and I. You got to read the rest. Look at Peter, man. Verse 14, he gets up and he's like, he gets up with the 11. He lifts up his voice and he said to them, "You men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but what? The third hour of the day, about 9 o'clock or so, the third hour of the day. But this is that." Well, isn't people going to think different about me and my family's this and my family's that? What are they going to say? Hey, this is that. What do you mean this is that? This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Go back in the book of Joel. Go back to chapter 2 and 3. Look at the blessing of the Holy Spirit. He says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days." When? The last days. When are the last days? The last days were when Jesus ascended into heaven and the church was birthed on the day of Pentecost. That's the last days. We're in the last days. We've been in the last days. Paul said that the spirit of Antichrist doth dwell now. He's alive now. Not the person, but the spirit, the whole entity of wanting to destroy Christianity. Man, he's been moving. That spirit's been moving for a long time. "And so it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon," how much? "All flesh, and your sons and your daughters." How much flesh? Let's go back to that. All flesh. What do you mean all flesh? Was all flesh inside the upper room? Nope. Then how can it be all flesh? It's all flesh because it was a promise of the Father. Isaiah spoke of it. Other places spoke of it. It was a promise of the Father that there would be a time in the timeline of history, and it happened to be on the day of Pentecost in the upper room, and he said, "I'm going to pour out my spirit." Bam! He did it on the day of Pentecost, and all flesh now has the opportunity. Do you see that? How can you say, modern theologian, Dr. Sawbones, how can you get up in your pulpit and say it is stopped, it is no longer available today, that this was just a season? He said all flesh. Everybody gets a chance at this. Everybody gets an opportunity to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This wasn't just for the select few in the upper room. No, sir. No, ma'am. It was for everybody that wants to receive. And I'm going to prove that before I get out of your way today. "I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." I'm prophesying. You're prophesying. People around you prophesying. "And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great notable day of the Lord." Wait a minute now. The great day of the notable day of the Lord come. Isn't that coming soon? Hasn't that been prophesied not only in the Old Testament but in the New Testament? Well, sure. Then guess what? The Spirit of God is being poured out on all flesh. It hasn't ended because the great and notable day of the Lord hasn't come. So until that day comes, there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's a filling of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because I need it for those days. Excuse me. The church needs it for the last days. I don't know why it's so hard to make these connections between the last days, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and the coming of the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something. If you think that we're going to win this world to Jesus Christ while people are jumping off buildings, committing suicide en masse. Yes, that's coming. And all the insanity as they kill one another in the streets over an election. Did you hear me? Over race, over social, over economic issues and defaults and calamity and collapse, do you think that standing up saying, can we all just get together? Let us bow and let us pray. If you think that type of Christianity is going to win people to Christ and settle the flames and quench the flames of your community, you are mistaken. It's going to take Holy Ghost-filled men and women of God. Not just the guy in the pulpit, honey. Grandma walking down the road and saying enough is enough, and signs and wonders and miracles taking place. Honey, I am not going into a cave to hide. I am not going to run away from this nation and get away from my responsibility as a man of God. Now, if God calls me away to do something different and to, you know, I'm not boxing the Father in. My point is this: being filled with the Holy Spirit is going to help us as a church go to the front lines and make a difference in our communities. Who else is going to do it? Let me ask you, who else is going to change the situation that we're going to face? Who is going to step up? Who is going to go to the front lines and try to calm the fires and try to make peace and try to fix things and bring people into the kingdom? Who? It's the church. It's the church, not the Babylonian church, not the dead church. It's going to be the fire-baptized, fire-brand Pentecostal Church of Jesus Christ. And when I say Pentecostal, I'm not talking denomination. I could care less. Those that know me, I could care less. When I say Pentecostal, I mean those who understand the day of Pentecost. They understand the principle of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and moving in the ministry of God. I care less about denominations. You're going to watch a denomination fall apart. You're going to watch denominations crumble if they don't come to the unity of the Spirit. They don't come to the realization that there is a remnant church. If they don't come to the realization that they cannot be political and lethargic. When they come to the realization that this is a borderless kingdom. Did you hear me? A borderless kingdom. Then denominations will have a great, great movement in the last days and a great purpose. Until then, they're just like everybody else. They're just getting in the way if they're not following the principles of the kingdom and the principles of the Holy Spirit being manifested. And I love denominations as far as people. I love people. I want everybody to move out into the things of God. But I'm going to tell you something. It's coming. The great awakening, the great movement of the Spirit is coming, but it's not going to come until the judgment comes upon America and the church finally wakes up and realizes we need God. In verse 21, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you see that? Do you see harvest tied into this? Do you see the Holy Spirit being poured out? You see the words last day. You see the great notable day of the Lord. And then you see harvest. It's all right there for us. And again, it takes somebody who wants to be dumb to not want to understand this, who wants to reject it. And I'm just asking you today, open your heart to receive this. Look, I got to go, but I'm going to give you this last few things. Listen to this. Verse 38, Acts chapter 2. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the testimony of sins. And you shall receive what? The gift. Please say gift. Write down the word gift. You shall receive the gift of what? The Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is a gift. Now notice this, that the apostle, again, listen to this. Dr. Dumbbell says it's not for our day. It was only for the apostles. Well, the apostles were preaching to somebody else. Who were they preaching to? They were preaching to everybody around them. They were preaching to anybody in Jerusalem that wanted to hear them. So this was outside of the club, outside of the clique, outside of the apostle organization, if you will, as they like to make it think, this select group. No, sir. They received the Holy Ghost outside of that clique, that group, the apostles, the disciples. Do you see that? So this is what Peter was trying to teach and to give. Remember, this is the Bible. Peter didn't have his opinion. Peter, the Bible declares that this word, the Bible, was written by holy men by the unction and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so Peter said these words under the inspiration. And because this was the foundation of the church, I believe these words are very important. I believe these words are foundational for us to live upon for the generations to come. I don't think the Father just threw it in there to throw it in there. He put it there. He put it with an indelible mark so that you and I could have confidence and faith and receive what? The gift. He said it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Now here you go. For the promise. So it's a gift and it's a what? Promise. Write it down. Say it. Promise. A gift and a promise is unto you. Who? Right there. Whoever was right there at that time. And guess what? And to me, because I can read you as me. And to your children. Wait a minute. This is generational now. Unto you and to your children. Here you go, if you're not convinced just yet, and to all that are afar off. What do you mean? For all those to come. Come on, Peter was looking at me, and he was looking at you through the telescope of prophecy. Though he didn't know who he was talking to, he knew he was talking to a generation to come and generations to come after that, and he spoke it, and he declared it. It was released. It was anointed. He was full of the Holy Ghost, and he said, here's a gift, here's a promise to you, to your children, and everybody else that would ever come down the line. Until when? That great and notable day. I love this. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Listen, that gives us the understanding. He calls everybody to receive salvation. He calls everybody to receive the baptism. It's a free invitation to receive a free promise and a free gift. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a part of the grace gift of God. You receive Jesus as Lord and Savior by faith, by the gift of grace. You receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit by faith, by grace. It's a gift. Eternal life is a gift, and the powerful Spirit-filled life is a gift too. God said it in the Word in the beginning throughout the Old Testament. He promised the Savior to come, and he came. His name was Jesus. Jesus said there's a promise coming, and that will be the promise of the Father. It'll be the Holy Spirit. Jesus ascended into heaven, and he did a tag team handoff, if you will, with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost, and that which was on the people. What do you mean? In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came on men. They prophesied. He came on the priest. But now, he that was on you shall be in you. How do you get him? You receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and man, he'll change your life, and he'll just do some incredible things for you. Well, I love you. I'm going to stop right there. Again, I will make another podcast here in a few days and just minister some more to you, and then I'm going to pray for you. I'm looking forward to that day, and I'm gonna try to give you some heads up on that so you can just be prepared, prepare your heart. You may want to fast. You may just, you know, want to get in that place. And the wonderful thing about Praiser is that you can listen to this and stop it and go back. It's just a wonderful, wonderful platform. Please bless Praiser. Please bless True News. Please go to their website. Click on the donation button there on either website. Praiser has a little heart up there. And just bless Pastor Rick Wiles. Pray for that ministry team. They are on the front lines. They are on the cutting edge. They are laying it out. The old saying, laying the wood, man. They're just doing it. They're just telling the truth, and it's raw. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to get raw even more. I believe Pastor Rick's going to really, really step up more in these last days because he's going to have to because of the hour that we're living in. He's really going to need our support. So do that. Help them, love them, pray for them. And if you can sow a seed our way, we'd appreciate any offering that you can. You know, I'm not a beggar. I just preach the message and I let the Father handle the accounting part of it. And I know he'll take care of me because he's a good father. He's my best friend. And he always makes a way when there seems to be no way. Well, let me give you a little contact information. If you are in the area, I keep saying it, 100 miles, few hours, it don't matter. Come on down, visit us. Come to Ignited Church. We're at 580 East Main Street, Livonia, Georgia, 30553. We're not a fancy church. We just love God. And the power of God is here. Faith is here. And we're believing for miracles for everybody. Also, your name. It may not be your personal name if I don't get an email, but my team, my leadership team, we're praying for you. We have a praiser prayer request. We have ignitedchurchlife.com prayer request. And whoever contacts us and the families of these ministries, we just put them on the cross and we pray. So I wanted you to know that you do have somebody praying for you. But anyways, come visit us if you can, 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings. That's our celebration time. And then we have our Wednesday night teaching. That's where I just get into the Word and dig deeper. That's at 7 p.m. In fact, that's where we taught underneath that weekly teaching is where I taught the book of Revelation. I've heard some good reports. People are really enjoying that. And you can get that information and that Revelation teaching at ignitedchurchlife.com. So visit us there. Also, you can write to me at P.O. Box 303, Livonia, Georgia, 30553. Ignited Church, P.O. Box 303, Livonia, Georgia, 30553. Again, praiser. Is one of our platforms. Our website's a platform. Facebook. Man, I've not really been a big Facebook person. I'm trying to learn it all myself, but great context, great people sharing with us and loving on us. I love my Facebook family. I try to include them in everything, but Facebook, and that's going to be found at Ignited Church Livonia. And then Twitter at Ignited Kingdom. That's a good source too. A lot of good nuggets and information comes from other sources, and then I get a chance to release a few things too when the Lord moves on my heart. But you know, social media has its place, and we're grateful for it. And then finally, z3news.com, James Bailey, z3news.com. Awesome ministry that's going on over there. And I will be able to share with you now, I did an interview with the Prophecy Club, and you can go to that website, the Prophecy Club with Stan Johnson, and check out that interview. It should be up in a day or so, and I'll be finishing an interview with him tomorrow, a two-part series, and just so grateful for these opportunities to declare, to decree, and to just announce the coming of the King and to share the goodness of Jesus Christ. Well, listen, I love you. I'm looking forward to talking to you soon. Check these platforms again for more media content as I get the opportunity to send it out. Thank you for praying for me. I love you. And remember, you don't have any troubles. All you need is faith in God. I love you.